Yes, that's a Christmas song that was in a Bond movie from On Her Majesty's Secret Service from 1969. Do you know how Christmas trees are grown? She did. Sunshine and rain and a bunch of children singing around you. And before that, On Her Majesty's Secret Service main theme by the John Barry Orchestra. I just love that one. It's just so awesome. It's just such a very cool sound, like throughout the whole thing, and just so exciting. And it also had a secondary theme in the movie because James Bond falls in love and he gets married in this one. And On Her Majesty's Secret Service from 1969. It is We Have All the Time in the World by Louis Armstrong here on Watch This on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts.
We have all the time in the world, time enough for life to unfold all the precious things love has in store. We have all the love in the world. If that's all we have, you will find we need nothing more. Every step of the way find us with the cares of the world far behind us. We have all the time in the world just for love, nothing more, nothing less.
Thirst for Schaefer. His shape is the one you have when you have it more than one.
Yeah.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever. Hold one up and then caress it. Touch it, stroke it and undress it.
From Diamonds of Forever. That's Diamonds of Forever, Shirley Bassey's second shot at the main theme. That was released. This is Bond Smells a Rat by the John Barry Orchestra. Diamonds of Forever marked the return of Sean Connery. 1971, one of my favorites, and great stunt set in Vegas. Diamonds of Forever, 1971 here.
Thank you.
WMF.
All right, before we go on to the Roger Moore Bond movies, I'm going to give you another little treat here. This is by a person named John Zorn, who redid the James Bond theme. It's Watch This here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, here with you until 7 p.m. My name is Chris Earle. Thanks for listening to your Freeform radio station.
Sanders, I didn't recognize you with the clothes on.
You are very suspicious, Mr. Bond.
Oh, I find I live much longer that way.
Oh, Commander Bond.
Call me James. It's 5 days to Alaska.
Bring tears to your eyes.
I'm now aiming precisely at your groin. Says, speak or forever hold your peace.
Such a delicate touch.
Sheer magnetism, man.
Do you know him?
Not socially. His name's Jaws. He kills people.
You have a nasty habit of surviving.
Well, you know what they say about the fittest.
You're not a sportsman, Mr. Bond. Why did you break off the encounter with my pet python?
I discovered he had a crush on me. Maybe I misjudged Stromberg. Any man who drinks Dom Perignon 52 can't be all bad.
Yes, well, you wouldn't have a smaller piece of thread than that, would you, Q? Somebody seems to have stuck a knife in my wallet.
Oh, they missed you. What a pity.
Hang on, James.
The thought had occurred to me.
stinging in the rain?
That's not funny, 007.
Can you swim?
One watch. Most unusual.
From Russia. With love.
He thinks I'm still a virgin.
Yes, well, you get your clothes on. I'll buy you an ice cream. All those feathers and he still can't fly.
Come on, buddy, come on. Oh, hey, give me some room.
Get back.
Thank you. Hey, you all right, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you with our group?
No, ma'am, I'm with the economy tour.
Well, life is short. I mean, f*** him. You know, who needs it? Come on, get the lid.
Take a fountain pen.
Twist the top. And a highly concentrated mixture of nitric and hydrochloric acid dissolves all metals.
Wonderful for poison pen, Leonard.
Pay attention, 007.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry. Say, live and let die.
We're on to 1973, Live and Let Die. Of course, Roger Moore takes over the role in the series of spy films in the James Bond series produced by Ian Productions. First one to star Roger Moore as the fictional MI6 agent James Bond, directed by Guy Hamilton and produced by Robert R. Broccoli and Harry Saltzman, who has, of course, who had both been on since the beginning, since Dr. No. Guy Hamilton was a great James Bond director. He did Goldfinger, and he did Diamonds Are Forever, and then he did Live and Let Die and Man with the Golden Gun. He said the only one he wish he hadn't done was Man with the Golden Gun, which does have its merits, but not the best Bond movie. One of the interesting things about the Roger Moore series, at least to me, is I started to rewatch all of them in this past week in preparation for today's show. And Live and Let Die, it is a really interesting Bond movie in the fact that it just kind of sets itself apart from everything else. It's just kind of a slice of time. You get to see Harlem, you get to see New Orleans in 73. It's really kind of a blaxploitation movie. It's got Yaphet Kotto. He's a great villain in it. He's Mr. Big. He's Mr. And he's also Kananga. It's got one of the best music themes to it, it's got the fifth Beatle. George Martin comes on and does the score for Live and Let Die, which gets kind of annoying at times because they keep playing the same Live and Let Die song over and over again in different variations of it. They have a jazz version, which is pretty good, but then they have this orchestra version from George Martin that kind of goes through the whole movie, which happens quite a bit in these James Bond movies of the 70s. You get to hear the themes go through the entire movie. And the score doesn't really change up too much. It's very, very similar. So it's like you're listening to the same song over and over again for 2 hours. But Paul and Linda McCartney wrote it, and it was performed by Wings. And I'm going to give you some more from the James Bond era of Roger Moore. This next one is Filet of Soul by George Martin. Filet of Soul in New England, New Orleans, rather. Here from the Live and Let Die soundtrack.
Well, you gotta give the other fella hell.
It's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Hello to Joe from Marblehead, who called on in to say hello. He said he was a big Bond fan. He said his father took him to see Dr. No when he was a kid, and he was enjoying all the soundtracks today. So thanks to Joe for listening here to Watch This with Chris Earle on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. For those of you in the know, you can go to WMFO.org. And for those of you not in the know, go to WMFO.org and you can get any show on WMFO for the next 2 weeks. Basically, from the time of broadcast up to 2 weeks, you can listen to the show. So you can go to WMFO.org and you can download Watch This with Chris Earle or Time Travel with Chris Earle. I'm here with you every Wednesday night from 5 to 7 p.m. Today I'm subbing for Joyce the Voice from 3 to 5. And she will return next week. I should also say that my friend Winston Kidd was supposed to be here with me today, but he was sadly unable to make it. So best wishes out to my friend Winston, and he will be back here on WMFO with me one of these days. In the background here, Underground Lair from Live and Let Die from the John Barry Orchestra. Actually, I'm sorry. It is from John Barry Orchestra, Underground Lair. Again, George Martin did the score for this one, but John Barry was still involved with Live and Let Die, plus the past Bond themes from before. Of course, up till Dr. No, he's always been involved in some way or other with James Bond. Now, I've been rewatching these Roger Moore ones. And they are great. He's a different Bond. He's funnier than Sean Connery. Sean Connery looks like he'll beat the hell out of you or just, you know, kill you and wander off. Roger Moore is a little bit more debonair, more of a gentleman. And he does a great job as Bond, too. I mean, I love Sean Connery, Roger Moore, kind of more in my era of growing up in the 70s. and early 80s and just recognizing James Bond as Roger Moore over time, because he was, of course, James Bond in the Cannonball Run as well. In 1981, he kind of marked his playing James Bond. But still, I don't know if I can pick a favorite Bond. Can you guys? Daniel Craig, Timothy Dalton, George Lazenby does a great job in his one movie. I don't know. A lot of people love Timothy Dalton because he was kind of a more harder edge to the point of Ian Fleming's novels. And most people say Sean Connery or Roger Moore. And of course, Daniel Craig's done a great job. The new movie coming out in April, and we'll be playing that new James Bond theme by Billie Eilish in a little bit. Right now we're in the 70s. Again, kind of a blaxploitation movie, but it is a great, great James Bond movie, Live and Let Die, and it still holds up pretty well. It's pretty funny, and it's also got one of the best Bond girls, Jane Seymour's in it, and she's gorgeous in it, and she's Kananga's psychic and love interest of Bond. And Yaphet Kotto does a good job, and I do like Teehee. Teehee is a great sidekick, the guy that has the messed up arm, and also Whispers is another sidekick. This is big guy that can't speak too loudly, so he whispers everything. And of course, the Return of M and Moneypenny and Q and all the rest of them, and the beginning of the debut of Sheriff J.W. Pepper, a Louisiana sheriff who shows up in two of the Bond movies, this one as well as the next one, on The Man with the Golden Gun. So this one came out, and it still did very well, directed by Guy Hamilton. Budget of $7 million, made $161.8, which secured James Bond well into the 70s. So let's listen to the rest of Underground Lair, and we'll move on to Lulu's The Man with the Golden Gun. Watch this here with you at 7 p.m. Thanks for listening. right. That's from The Man with the Golden Gun, Lulu. Considered by many, up until this point, to be the lower point in the James Bond canon. In 1974, this came out to mixed reviews. Had a budget of $7 million. Still did really well. Made 97.6. I rewatched this past week. Still good. Not great. Directed by Guy Hamilton. Produced by Broccoli and Saltzman again. Tom Mankiewicz did the screenplay with Richard Mabum. Tom Mankiewicz was involved, and he wrote quite a few of the screenplays for James Bond in the 70s. It's 125 minutes. It was released December 19th, 1974 in London. Still had everything James Bond had in it. It's got a good villain. Hervé Velázquez is in it as a sidekick. He's great as Nick Knack. And, of course, you have Christopher Lee as the main villain. He's kind of a dark James Bond. And that's the way he decided to play it. So he's an assassin that makes $1 million for each hit. And this is one of those movies where it's not really a mission. It's kind of a side mission. Like M says, well, if you find out why he sent you the bullet, then we don't have this problem anymore. So they kind of go out and do it. But it's set in Thailand, Hong Kong, and Macau, and it's really gorgeous. That's one of the things. The locales of the James Bond movies, always gorgeous. Has a lot of the gadgets, but the gadgets are mostly used by the villain in this one. He's got a flying car, which is awesome. And the guy that originally made the flying car, I guess, killed himself in it. He, like, strapped a jet engine to, like, a Corvette or something. And the thing, or American Motor Car, whatever it was, and he died in it. But, yeah, so they rebuilt one for Man with the Golden Gun, and Scaramanga and Tattoo go flying off into the sky with it, which is pretty cool. Plus, he's got this golden gun that breaks down into, like, cufflinks and cigarette case and a whole bunch of things. So he puts the gun together and shoots somebody, you know, when he assassinates one of the people in the movie. But overall, pretty good. Christopher Lee's excellent in it. And it's got the great villain locale, like I said. Plus, you get to see Q and Moneypenny and M and all of them. And what's interesting about this one, too, is it discusses solar energy for destructive purposes, which was kind of all the rage in the early 70s when you had the energy crisis. And it's kind of all the rage now, too. So, interesting one to watch. A lot different than Live and Let Die, and a lot different than a lot of the other Bond movies. Still good, not great, but an interesting soundtrack, since you actually had George Martin doing Live and Let Die. The music for this one went back to John Barry, who returned for this one. Hips Trip was in the background. I have to pause right here because the next one, Spy Who Loved Me, this is considered the best James Bond theme by a whole bunch of people. And I absolutely love this one, too. It's Carly Simon, who was big in the 70s. She's still big now. And I actually met her once. She was at the House of Blues, and she was seeing the Blues Brothers on the opening night of the House of Blues. And I got to shake her hand and talk to her for a couple of minutes. She's very, very very pretty and a little short, but you can tell it was Carly Simon, and it was really cool. But anyway, this is Nobody Does It Better from Spy Who Loved Me, 1977.
To hide from you.
from The Spy Who Loved Me. It's Nobody Does It Better. What's interesting about that one is it's the first Bond main theme song that is not named after the title, The Spy Who Loved Me, although the lyrics are within Nobody Does It Better. And it's also the first song about Bond. Most of them have been about the villains, but this one is actually about Bond. It was Marvin Hamlisch. He ended up doing the song with Carly Simon, and it was actually written by Carol Bayer Sager, and it was nominated for a Best Song Oscar, but it had lost to You Light Up My Life, which is also a great song from the 70s. It would have been nice to have Carly Simon accept that award along with Marvin Hamlisch and Carol Bayer Sager in the 70s. We had to wait until, I believe, Skyfall was given the Best Song Oscar when it finally got it. And then, of course, Sam Smith got it, but he didn't really deserve it. Adele deserved it, but Sam Smith didn't. Anyway, this is Watch This on WMFO in the background, The Pyramids from The Spy Who Loved Me, Marvin Hamlisch. So that's one of only two movies to be nominated for Best Original Score at the Oscars. One of only two Bond movies to be nominated for Best Original Score at the Oscars. Does anybody know what the other one is? 855-915-WMFO if you want to make a guess. Also, I should put out there, favorite Bond villain, favorite gadget, favorite car, favorite stunt. Any of those things, if you want to call in and let me know. I am also taking little Bond stories. If you got a little Bond memory, you can call on in and tell it to me. 855-915-9636. We are under Spy Who Loved Me in 1977 right now. There was something that came out called Bond 77 from the Spy Who Loved Me soundtrack. I'm going to play that next for you here on Watch This on WMFO in Medford. awesome. It's Bond 77. It's such a great soundtrack. It's Marvin Hamlisch. John Barry couldn't work in England due to tax reasons, so they brought in Marvin Hamlisch, and it turned out to be one of the only scores that was nominated for an Academy Award. The other one was Skyfall. If you had thought Skyfall, you were the big winner. But yeah, Oscar was up for Nobody Does It Better, which was also featured in like five other movies, including like Bridget Jones and a whole bunch of other movies. Still a great, great Bond theme song, Carly Simon, and music by Marvin Hamlisch. Spy Who Loved Me is my favorite Roger Moore of the Bond movies. Great, great movie. You've got the Lotus's Spirit, which turns into a sub. It's a car that turns into a sub. It's got Barbara Bach in it, who's Ringo's wife. It's got the introduction of Jaws, who's one of the best villains in the whole series. And it's just awesome. It's great. It's got the Stromberg's hideout, Atlantis. It's got an underground lair, and it's just a great, great Bond movie. Budget of $14 million, made $185.4 million. Considered by a lot to be the best of the Roger Moore movies. This one was probably my favorite of the Roger Moore bunch, The Spy Who Loved Me. Roger Moore did 7 of the Bond movies. I believe Sean Connery did 6, if you don't count Never Say Never Again from 83, which was a different production company altogether, and it was really a loose remake of Thunderball. Next one on the list is from 1979. Shirley Bassey returns to the title theme. It is Moonraker here on Watch This on WMFO in Medford. All James Bond until 7 p.m. My name is Chris Earle. Thanks for listening to your Freeform station.
Yeah.
It's 1979. Moonraker comes out. Great, great movie. Most people don't say, what is my favorite Bond movie? And people say Moonraker. But actually, I stand corrected because I rewatched it. It's holding up pretty good. A lot of people thought, well, they're cashing in on Star Wars, which they did, which everybody was doing at the time. So you had spy movies all through the 60s, and then James Bond, you know, makes his way inchingly through the 70s. But after Spy Who Loved Me does really well, they have a huge budget of like $34 million, and they make a space epic. And in the last like 15, 20 minutes, James Bond takes a shuttle into space, and it's pretty good. And you have the return of Jaws in it, which is great. He becomes a good guy. And this is Cable Car and Snake Fight in the background by the John Barry Orchestra, who returns for the score for Moonraker. It ended up grossing a whole bunch of money, $210.3 million, which was the largest up until 1995's GoldenEye. So let's listen in. It's Moonraker for Your Eyes Only coming up next. It's all James Bond till 7 p.m. WMFO in Medford.